another episodic podcasting adventure. It's Tacomania.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episodic podcasting adventure.
It's Tacomania.
I'm your host, Desbino, here with the co-host, my buddy, my amigo, J-Bomb. Say hello, J-Bomb.
Oh, I'm hungover, bro. Oh. I'm hungover.
I don't doubt it, man. It's funny because usually, like, you're up really early and you're on point. You're, you know, catching up with me. And I sent a text message out to you this morning. Just, oh, my head, I'm hungover. And I did a great time. It was fun last night. And then I didn't hear anything from you for hours. And I'm like, oh, Jay must be knocked out or something was going on.
I was awake. I did see it. And I was just like, I want to just shut myself off from the world for a little bit. And,
well, I noticed that, yeah. A lot less present today.
I got my kids ready for school, for daycare. Put them in the car for my wife. My wife went to work. And I laid on the couch and literally laid on the couch all day. I did watch a couple WWE docs, though, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, which one did you check out?
I rewatched Owen Hart, Heart of Gold, the documentary on his life. And then I watched Daniel Bryan's journey to WrestleMania 30.
That's cool. Yeah. Owen Hart, I didn't know they had one on the WWE Network, if they were allowed to even put that on there.
It's not on the WWE Network. It's actually on that... on Cody, on that guy's thing. If you go in the documentaries, it's quite a ways down. They got some good stuff on there, like really, really good stuff.
How old is that documentary?
I think it's 2017. So, oh no, maybe 2015?
Cool. I mean, that's modern enough.
Oh yeah, no, it was. Yeah. It was like in HD and shit. So it was great. I've seen it before, but it's always nice to watch. And they went through the whole, like, his whole career journey and the evolution of him and, you know, after the Montreal Screwjob and what happened, and obviously his death and stuff. So it was just really cool.
Any backstage stuff?
Like shoots and stuff?
Yeah, like him just kind of, you know, taping up.
Yeah, totally. Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Definitely,
it's really good, actually. Check it out. Yeah, 100%.
Cool. All right, folks. So Jay's talking about how he feels like crap.
Yeah.
Reason why. Hey, man, let's get right to it. 20 years of hell. Mick Foley is on tour right now, going across Canada. I'm hearing he's also planning a trip across the U.S., so make sure to check it out. Amazing crowd last night, amazing show, basically talking about the 20th anniversary of Hell in a Cell with The Undertaker, and doing some comedy, and it was an amazing night, and I don't know, it was great. We got to meet the man.
Yeah, he did. It was way better than I was expecting it to be. Not that I wasn't expecting it to be good, but it was just like a really well put together show. He was really, really funny. You could tell that he had, like, his stories, like, really well thought out. And the atmosphere was awesome. Montreal's always good. And there's a lot of good people in the room. We met a lot of cool people. And it was really, really cool to actually, you know, see him on stage. We gave him a Tacomania shirt. So hopefully one day we see him wearing it.
Maybe on Raw. Maybe this Sunday at Hell in a Cell.
It's black
Hell
and white.
Hell in a Cell. That'd be fantastic. Maybe he's going to wear a referee shirt. It gets ripped and you can see our logo just by like a small percentage. Hey, I'd be okay with that. You can see the A.
I'd die happy. If Foley wore a Tacomania t-shirt and a freaking pay-per-view, that'd be amazing.
Well, it was neat when we gave him to him. He's like, oh, awesome, a Tacomania shirt. So, like, I guess he's kind of getting familiar with our brand. And when we ask questions at the end of the night, he's like, oh, yeah, you guys, your podcast. So we're building relationships. Next, we're going to be, it's going to be the Talk and Sock Connection.
That's it, man. That's it.
But great show. It was really cool. Also, you know, being the Montreal scene, we ended up basically quickly chatting with, you know, IWS. If you guys aren't familiar with it, make sure to check it out. Really cool scene in Montreal. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, El Generico, they both wrestled for IWS. We talked to Sexy Eddie. This guy's got a really good career. Check him out as well, too. We might be able to having him on the show in the near future. So catch up on your Sexy Eddie. He is sexy, and he's going to possibly be here on Tacomania.
Yeah, and if you guys want to check out IWS on Twitter, it's follow them at IWS Hardcore. They're freaking awesome. I'm pretty sure British Strong Style is going to be their next
one. Yeah, so. Yeah. And they told us there's going to be some exciting announcements coming up. So IWS is picking up steam full force, guys. Check it out. It was really cool. Almost as cool as it was to see Mick Foley that night. And again, it's a really unique time for us to see him because not only was he on Raw this Monday, he's going to be at Hell in a Cell on Sunday. So right sandwiched in between, we got to see him. And pretty cool. When we met him, I actually did have a chance to ask him if he knew the outcome of the match. I said, did he tell you the booking for the Hell in a Cell match?
You're gutsy with your questions. I love it. He like just came straight out and asked.
Yeah, he looked right at me and he's like nope. Or, you know, even if I knew, I couldn't tell you. And then I asked him, I said, okay, well, are you going to take a bump? And if they ask you to, would you do it? And he looked at me, and for those of you wondering how, if his involvement, it might be based on this, he literally told me that he's on the do not touch list. So the WWE has a do not touch list. I think we kind of knew that to some degree, but it seems like it's an official thing. Mick Foley's on it. But I mean, I don't know. Strowman can hit him with the power slam. That's pretty, you know, like you're going and you're flat in your back. Maybe it's not so bad, but who knows? It's Mick Foley. He's crazy. Maybe he's just going to do something anyways.
He's got to do something. You know he's going to get in the moment and do something.
For sure. There's going to be something there. So imagine he gives a Socko to Braun Strowman. It'd be crazy.
Oh, Socko. I bought a Socko.
Yeah, he did. Socko. Yeah, he's got a signed Socko. It's pretty cool. He's got some pretty cool merch. I got a signed autograph photo, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, Mankind, and he kind of personalized it for each character. I think it was
like
Have Mercy for Dude Love, and then bang, bang, Cactus Jack, and it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Very exciting, and couldn't be more happier to be a part of it, and it's been a pleasure kind of having Mick in our little Taco Maniaverse for the past week or two. So,
Did you just call it Taco Maniaverse? Look at that, eh?
It's not the Talk-a-verse. Our world is a Taco Maniaverse. There's still the Talkomaniacs.
All right, whatever. We'll agree to disagree on it. But so Raw, SmackDown, we got Hell in a Cell. We're going to do our predictions at the end of this episode. So stay tuned for that. But let's go through Raw, man. Let's rip through it.
Right, so we're talking about Foley. So Foley had a big involvement this week. He comes out and he interrupts Elias, as everybody tends to do. You know, someone's always going to be coming out interrupting Elias. Well, it was Foley, and that was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool segment. But I think the big takeaway was, you know, him talking about Hell in a Cell. And we knew he was going to be on tour, and we thought he'd be plugging it, and we thought it was pretty cool that the WWE was letting him do this.
Yeah.
And not only did he plug the tour, they insert him in the Hell in a Cell match. You know, that's huge. So to me, it's like, you know, what really? Like, a lot of people are like, really put Mick Foley in this? You should just have the two guys, you know, have a brutal match. It's kind of weird to put Mick Foley in there, you know. He's not around very often. He's not as mobile as he used to be. So a lot of people are kind of confused about that decision. But I think it also has a lot of question marks and who knows what's going to happen. So Braun's cashing in his Money in the Bank at Hell in a Cell.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
And now will Mick be the deciding factor on the outcome? Who knows? Maybe he'll just be a referee if I'm partial. Who knows?
I'm assuming Mick Foley is there to, you know, sell pay-per-views, get some butts in the seats, you know, bring back a bit of the nostalgia, and especially for it being, you know, the 20th anniversary. I get it, though. It is kind of odd that they just insert him because he's not really part of any storylines or anything. So that's a little weird.
Yeah, he's one of those kind of guys that can kind of come back and be a special referee, though, so... You know, we'll see, and maybe it'll, you know what? You know what it also could be, to be honest with you? You know how they used Braun Strowman at SummerSlam to tease cashing in the briefcase so they would distract the crowd so they wouldn't boo? Mm-hmm. So Mick Foley could be playing a similar role here. So they're going to put Mick Foley in that match to kind of distract the fans or have them kind of more into it and more excited because Mick Foley's involved. That's probably it. He'll probably be new, do nothing except be a partial impartial referee.
Like, I did retweets about that, and I replied to a few of them because... Like, I get it. I get that angle, but I don't think the WWE has to really worry anymore because I think people were just as interested in Brock versus Roman. So now that we have Braun in there, and it's in a Hell in a Cell, I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, people want to see Braun take the title off of Roman Reigns. So they'll be excited for that alone. It's not happening. Imagine? It's not happening.
It's weird. We had Brock Lesnar... Never on Raw, so we never saw the Universal title. Now we have Roman on Raw, but he doesn't even carry it.
Yeah, I feel like it still hasn't really been there, but I guess I also feel like Roman's always been like the champion, right? He's kind of like their guy, so even if he's not carrying the belt,
I know, but it's just weird. Nothing's really changed for me. He should wear it. Like, he should have it when he comes out with the Shield.
Well, he carries it like a strap, right?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Well, people complain. They say it's disrespectful for the title.
So, I don't find it's disrespectful. I don't think so either. I just feel like we waited so long for him to get it. Let's see it while he walks out, you know? That's just me.
Yeah. You can't miss that big bubblegum pop WWE logo, you know?
I like it. We talked about this last night. I like it.
Nah, it's too much for me. Make it smaller if you're going to do it. And then, I don't know, man. Go back to the old, like, you know, plates with the globe on it and the eagles and the, I don't know, scripture.
So we got the pack. Also, you threw out a tweet that Kevin Owens was following Braun Strowman out. Oh. And what the hell, man?
I don't know, man. The whole Kevin Owens experiment is beyond me. We saw him quit. I thought that was confusing, but I was like, okay, cool. He's going to do some crazy shit. You know, he's going to come back. He's going to have some kind of plot plan. He's going to come with a debuting superstar, maybe the Undisputed Era. That could be really cool. We talked about that as well, too, in a prior episode. But no, I mean, he came back, and it seems like he's feuding with Bobby Lashley. And, you know, the reason they gave that he came back was more of like a write-off. It's like, well, I left, and Corbin immediately contacted me and said, we need you, and now you can wreak havoc and do what you want. That's so stupid and lazy. So to me, it was really a shame. And what's he going to do? Now he's allowed to powerbomb people in the apron? He did that anyways. So, I mean, the funny thing was, is you have this whole feud with Braun Strowman. He gets thrown off the cell. He gets thrown in a porta potty. And then on Raw, he's coming out to Strowman's music with him.
Disgusting.
It's ridiculous. And then you watched that whole segment when they were out there. Kevin Owens had this look on his face, and it never changed the whole time. And he looked like he was just like, I hate everybody and I hate my job, or just this is garbage, you know? Like, I'm sure he doesn't hate his job. He's in the WWE. He just signed a new contract.
Right.
But I know he's frustrated. It could tell. And I could tell it on his face. And now he's fighting with Lashley in these ridiculous segments. And, you know, I don't really know what they're doing with Lashley either. It seems like they're lost. They're putting Leo Rush with him now, too. Somebody who Jay's probably unfamiliar with. But
who's Leo Rush?
Basically, the guy. He's the guy who was on Raw talking to Bobby Lashley, trying to hype him up.
Oh, that dude. Okay, yeah. I didn't know who the hell that was.
So he's a talent from 205 Live, and his whole shtick is he's a small guy, but he moves fast, man. And he does, and he's a good wrestler. He's entertaining. But now they're starting to bring all these 205 Live guys up to the main roster, and there's all kinds of rumors. Well, is 205 Live folding, or do they want to have, you know, more FaceTime for these guys? You know, it's relatively new. You know, we see that with the the Authors of Pain now as well, too. Mm-hmm. But with Leo Rush, he's basically been brought forward to kind of be, a mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley, which probably is needed because he's not the best on the mic. This guy is cocky, and he's a small guy that Kevin Owens can probably throw around. So it would be interesting to see what goes on. But I don't know, man. Kevin Owens, I'm a bit frustrated because I think the guy deserves a lot better.
I think we're never going to be satisfied with what's going on with Kevin Owens, unless it's literally the Kevin Owens show. I think we got spoiled. He came on with so much momentum, beating John Cena, Universal title run, amazing program with Jericho, and then he kind of got lost back in the mix with Sami Zayn for a bit. But, actually, when he was on SmackDown, he was running with Daniel Bryan. He was there for Daniel Bryan's return. But I guess we're just too marquee about him, man.
I don't know. I would be satisfied to have... I mean, like, when he was fighting with Braun, I didn't mind it. It was funny. He got thrown off the cell, and that was huge.
Yeah.
But then, like, putting him kind of in limbo, he quits because he loses... He wrestled Seth Rollins, and he, after an amazing match, he lost. Man. And then he quit because of it. Like, dude, you almost won, and it was a great match. Like, why do you should be happy with it? And I mean, sure, he was deep down inside, but in the storyline-wise, he's got to quit, and it's like... I don't know, man. Like, he'll get another chance. He'll get another title shot. Like, I don't know. I'm just not really buying the whole what's going on. I don't think he's buying it either.
No, he looks frustrated. We're frustrated as Kevin Owens fans, but it'll get better. It will get... Wait, is he on the card for Hell in a Cell?
Dude. Kevin Owens is not on the card.
Ugh.
At Hell in a Cell. But watch him be put on the pre-show against Lashley.
Oh, God, please no. I'd rather him not be in the show than on pre-card. That's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the matches themselves, there's enough for a full card, but they haven't announced anything for the pre-card, so there's going to be something. And watch it be Kevin Owens versus Bobby Lashley.
I think our listeners just heard us realize that he was not on the card. Because our energy was just like, oh, drained. Nikki Bella, Ruby Riott, picking up the win, squashing mm-hmm. any momentum that Ruby had.
Is it?
Everybody is moving over for the Bellas. They're back, and they are in the spotlight.
You know what? Nikki Bella's pretty good in the ring.
I'll give you pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe compared to Brie, she's like really, really good. But I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good match.
The match is all right. And Nikki Bella's pretty good. I don't like the whole, you know, again, we just talked about it. You just said it yourself. Like, Ruby was getting such, I guess, a push. You can tell that WWE loves her. She's a great wrestler. And you know what? She's going to do good things. She, you know, her career's just taken off in the WWE. But, you know, the way the Bellas come back and then everybody kind of has to step aside. Same thing that Ronda did. Same thing that Brock does as well, too, for the Universal title. I just kind of frustrates me a bit that they kind of come back after the hiatus and then everything gets put on hold. Everybody has to be pushed aside. Same thing with Sasha. Same thing with Bayley. I'm sure they're all frustrated to a certain degree. But I get that it's good for their product and what they want to do. Yeah. The Bellas is a really big part of the WWE. You know, I get that there's lots of viewers and fan base, and I get what the main roster is. It's a cash cow, right? So putting the Bellas in the spotlight, I get why they're doing it, but I'm not happy with it. I wish it wasn't the case, but I just kind of want... I know it'll be over eventually. You know, they're going to have the feud with Ronda Rousey, and look forward to it, folks, because I don't think Ronda's going to drop the title to Nikki Bella, so you're going to get Bella having her ass handed to her. If she does, that's... I don't know, man. We riot. We'll hashtag that shit.
You know, Ronda had a pretty good match on Raw, tagging with Natty. She actually seemed to, like... I think she listened to our podcast after the Bliss fight, and she started kind of, you know, not quite chain wrestling, but kind of being a little bit more of not just, like, you know, power move, pin, or... submission. So,
well, I know for a fact she did listen to the podcast, and that is why she changed her game.
Fucking right.
Yeah, and she also hit the heart attack, man. And Bret Hart really liked it. Yeah, he sent respect. So cool. Yeah, it was cool. I thought that was pretty sweet. And you know what? You're saying that she put on a pretty good match. She cut a really good promo backstage afterwards. If you go back and check it out, and it's worth checking out. It's very short and sweet. Maybe like a 10 to 20 second promo. Basically just being aggressive and telling Alexa Bliss off, but like really heartfelt and really good. Like she's starting to get there. She's getting better. Her promos are getting better. She's getting more comfortable. You know, we see that with Shayna Baszler as well too. I think she's, you know, kind of, obviously they're both coming from the Ultimate Fighting world, but Ronda's, she's doing it, you know? So we'll see. We'll see if she'll be a long-termer too. I know she wants to have children. So will she be around for after WrestleMania? I think her contract ends around WrestleMania. So we'll see what happens, but
who dethrones her though?
Charlotte.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it'll be Charlotte. She's winning the Royal Rumble the next year, Women's Royal Rumble. Spoiler, guys.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it because we're gonna be there in New Jersey, and then we'll get to see Charlotte versus Ronda. It's selfish of me. Yeah, but I think it'll be a good match anyways. I'm okay with that.
Oh man, it just hit me that we're going to WrestleMania. That's mm-hmm. amazing. Oh,
yeah.
It's
going to be
so
awesome, excited. Guys. Make sure, man, other podcasts out there that are in our podcast family, we're going to be meeting up for some beer too, man, because we're going to do a whole weekend, man. NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania, and we're going to do Raw after. That's the plan, at least. We'll see how our wallets and livers do, but yeah.
Yeah, wallets and livers, that's it. Okay, so we got SmackDown to go over as well. We got Jeff Hardy with Nakamura. Yeah,
that was a cool match. It was a nice treat to kick off SmackDown.
Yeah,
Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura. But you know, it's funny. So this whole feud with Jeff Hardy and Orton, it just feels like Nakamura could have been involved. Not that he needs to. I'm down to see like Orton versus Jeff Hardy. It's kind of like an old school-ish battle. Mm-hmm. But you know, we ended up seeing Jeff Hardy get the better of Randy Orton heading into Hell in a Cell. But Nakamura is kind of left in the shadows, and he's not even on the card. So the U.S. Championship's not even being defended at Hell in a Cell, and he is not on the card.
Yeah, that's a weird one. But I'm telling you, man, my gut, I know there's rumors out there flying around. I saw a few tweets saying that Jeff is promising to do something unforgettable. I'm wondering if he's going to take advantage of it being the 20-year anniversary of the first Hell in a Cell. Or, sorry, the 20th anniversary of Mick Foley. But, man, I hope he doesn't kill himself.
No, it's going to be something like he'll do a swanton off the top of the cell through like the announce table, which will have like a big cushion underneath it.
Yes, but do you think anybody will ever land on somebody from the top of the cell? Think they could pull that in? Pull that off?
So. Well, I feel as if like Shane McMahon's done a crazy elbow drop off the Titantron and landed it or something. I think they've done it before. I think it's just like landing well on the cushion, you know?
I just hope he doesn't kill himself.
Maybe we'll see it one day. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, absolutely.
And then we saw Charlotte with Sonya Deville. It was a good match as well. I find Charlotte looked a little... I find Deville looked better than Charlotte in that match.
Yeah. I don't know. I think just the styles. I think once like somebody starts working with Charlotte, they kind of get a reality check. The same thing when you work with Asuka. And the same thing with also with Nikki Cross. You'll see a lot of people won't be used to wrestling their styles. So they'll kind of go into a match. And Bianca Belair was one on NXT actually this past week. It was a great match. But you could tell that she wasn't prepared for that kind of style of wrestling. And they kind of get lost a little bit. So maybe that's the case with Charlotte. She's also really tall.
Yeah, that's true. It was pretty much that spinebuster spot. It looked like she was going to break both of her legs.
Yeah, but Deville was good. She hadn't wrestled. Well, she hasn't really been consistently wrestling, so I guess she gets a bit rusty. But they probably also rely on these guys to be the big workhorses for the house shows.
Yeah, that's it.
But that's how they get experience. She's definitely putting on a better show. Her entrance is a bit. I'm getting used to it, but it sounds like a breaking news report. But she comes out, she does like her, the punches, kind of like Steve Blackman used to do.
Yeah,
like the sticks.
Totally.
Yeah.
She doesn't look good. She looks awkward doing it.
I don't know, whatever. She's just an attractive lesbian. I'll say that.
Oh, that's so good.
Is. I got a little crush on her. I think she's attractive.
I think she's super hot. So
Yeah. And she's tough. And, hopefully she'll have a good career ahead of her. And she's definitely improving. So,
And we got to see what Becky looks like with black hair and glasses. And I thought she looked pretty great, too. Yeah,
the glasses alone, too. Like, she just leaves the glasses on all the time, man.
I know.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was so freaking obvious, when she walked up. It's like almost like she forgot Charlotte. She's like walking back up the aisle, and all of a sudden she's like, "Oh shit!" And then she goes to take that like selfie video. With
imagine
people.
She forgets. That'd be hilarious.
Oh man!
But it's like they used to plant those kids in the audience that would tear up the sign. They'd be like, "You hold the sign." The guy would go over and rip up their sign, and the kid
you
would cry.
You think those are plants? I don't think they were plants.
For sure, they are. Not always. Oh, like okay, the worst one ever. The worst one ever is the Million Dollar Man. When he gets that kid to bounce the basketball like 10 times. And then when he gets, he's like, "I'll give you $100. I don't know the exact values. But
I think it was
like,
$100.
$100 if you can bounce this 10 times. And then right at 9, he kicks it. What a douche, man. What a douche.
Actually.
Dude, you got to plug that laugh in right now.
Oh, shit. I totally forgot. Have you seen his documentary?
DiBiase?
Yes. It's a must watch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Must watch. I'm not going to give anything away, but go watch
it. Everybody dies at the end.
Everybody dies. It's so not what I expected. And I have a lot of respect for that guy.
He's like hardcore Christian now, too.
Yes. There was like a huge change in his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And no, it's really interesting to watch. But Jericho used to rip up signs as he would walk down in WCW.
Yeah, but WCW was like anything goes.
Yes, exactly. Oh, he was so good at that. Fuck, Jericho's
still good at what he does.
He's so good. We saw Samoa Joe read a super creepy bedtime story.
I like the production value. I like the art. I like the story. Like the fact that they're putting so much into this is really cool. And if it's like, well, we wanted Samoa Joe to show up at the house and be super creepy stalker, which is, I guess, borderline. This is a good way to make up. It's a good alternative for me. I like the book. I thought Joe, he's menacing, right? He could be an evil villain.
He's very menacing.
Yeah, he could be an evil villain. So, guy cuts a great promo. I actually think Joe's been blowing AJ out of the water in terms of the promos. I guess there's been more kind of fuel with him. He's got the book. He can work with it a bit more. AJ kind of just goes out there and does the same basically promo every single week. But now that I look at it, I was saying that this was kind of the least exciting part of SmackDown for me each week. Yeah. It kind of still is. But now that I look at it, it's kind of more on AJ. And I'm a huge AJ Styles fan. And he can cut a good promo, but I just feel like he's not been keeping up with AJ, Samoa Joe in the promos.
In his defense, it's easier for Samoa Joe to be doing what he's doing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
You know what would be cool, though? Have AJ Styles flip it, and he's going after Joe's family. And they're just both going after each other's families. And then they end up being swingers.
Oh fuck, man! What a twist, eh? What a twist that would be. No, it's been okay. I think the payoff's gonna be good.
Yeah, but you would think this match would be in a Hell in a Cell. I even thought it was going to be. I thought they were like advertising this like a month ago in a cell, but maybe it was just at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I thought it was in the cell as well. That's why, again, the fact that Hardy and Orton are in it and there's two other matches, you know, Becky's match and Samoa Joe's match that could be in a Hell in a Cell. That's another reason why I think something crazy is going to happen with Hardy. But I agree, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it should be in a cell, especially with the bad blood they have. I have to think this is going to carry over past it. So,
yeah, for sure. This seems like a long-term feud, and we're going to see more between Samoa and AJ Styles.
Yeah. Dude, Rusev Day are the number one contenders.
Rusev Day.
I did not think that they were going to do it. I didn't.
No, me neither, because at the Super Show or wherever it is, the New Day are defending their titles against the Bar. So mm-hmm. that right there was like, okay, well, obviously that Rusev Day is not going to get the job done, and they'll go on at like Hell in a Cell and fight the Bar, and then they'll have a rematch at the Super Showdown, whatever it's called. But it looks like New Day is actually going to have their title shot at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. New Day, they can bring it. Rusev Day, well, let's see if they can bring it. They're exciting. I'm sure it'll be an exciting match. But will Lana be out there? 3-3, you would think she's going to be there. I think she will be there by ringside. But I think she might cost in the match. There's going to be some kind of turmoil. I don't think this whole teasing of breaking up Rusev Day is done. I still think we're still going to get that Rusev-Aiden match. I would like to think the WWE took some steps back and realized that they needed to keep them together, and that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like they're playing these long storylines, which they seem to be trying to do now.
Yeah, I like it.
And I feel like that something's going to happen. And maybe it's Lana. Maybe Lana does something this time. But I don't think they're going to win. If it ends up them losing, and then like next week they're just a tag team again and they're friends, like there's got to be some kind of story value out of this, you know?
Yeah, we need a payoff at some point. We need some sort of a payoff, especially if they're going to lose, right? Because everybody wants to see Rusev Day go over. If they won, it would be sick, though.
It would be really cool. Maybe they're going to see things differently and pull an audible. Who knows? They've changed matches before. I would love to see Rusev Day win the tag team titles, but New Day just got them back. I don't think they're going to, you know, slut up the titles and have to move around too quickly.
You say slut up the titles?
Yeah, slutting up the titles, man. When you move, you just pass them around.
I like it. Have you been enjoying Carmella and R-Truth together?
I think it's cool. I think it's kind of like if you're going to have something for R-Truth to do in Carmella. Well, it's funny because they tease for weeks, right? R-Truth's like, I got to pin Carmella to get a title match. And then he thought it was going to just end, and it didn't. And then now they're together, and it ties in with the mixed match challenge because they're partners.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. She comes out, and she's like, what's up? What's up? And it's so lame, but it so fits Carmella, right?
It so fits her,
it's such a Carmella thing to do. Go out and be like, what's up? What's up? And, you know, it's working for now. I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing, but I'm enjoying it for the time being. And Carmella's like, I'm the champion, and she's all in your face, and she's quickly forgotten about being the title picture and moved on, and now she's with R-Truth. So, how the mighty have fallen.
I can't get over it. This guy's like almost 50. He's like 40 ways.
He looks fantastic, and he moves around fantastic.
Dude, like when he jumps and does his splits and shit, I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude, he moves around great, you know? I would like to see that guy just have like one payoff day, or even like a championship match where like the crowd just really gets behind him and he becomes like a fraction of a second away from winning one week. It would just be really cool to see.
I mean, they loved him when he was it the Miz that he beat in the main event 2 weeks ago on SmackDown?
Yeah, he did. And he's had some pretty big wins as well, too. And he's been involved in some pretty cool things. Oh, I was telling you about this. And guys, check this out. It was really cool. On WWE Network, before they do pay-per-views, they tend to show like the same pay-per-view from years before. And so it was Hell in a Cell. And it was a matchup. I was intrigued to watch it because it was Del Rio, Cena, and CM Punk in a Hell in a Cell match. And I hadn't seen these guys in the ring for a while. So I was like, oh, I'll check it out. Interesting chemistry. And I didn't even remember this match. It just seems like I would remember this match with the three of them being in it. And the match itself was okay. Some good spots. But at some point, it's funny, they got outside the ring and Del Rio locked the cage, right? So it was just him and Punk inside. So he ends up getting the win by cheating with a lead pipe or hitting Punk with it and pinning him. Punk almost won. And he won the title. And once they started lifting the cage, John Cena comes in, starts attacking Del Rio. and two people slide into the ring and start beating down everybody, like with the pipe, with chairs. It's like annihilating them. And you can see they're in hoodies. And the cell comes down, and the cell kind of gets stuck, and they can't lift it. The technicians are like, they can't lift it up, and they can't open the cage because Del Rio had taken the key and thrown it under the ring, and the referee got beaten up, and everybody's just getting killed inside. It's like a massacre. So it ends up being R-Truth and The Miz. They had been fired by Triple H, I think, the week prior, or maybe a couple weeks prior, but it was, you know, just fresh. They came back, they attacked everybody. It was pretty violent. And eventually, Triple H in the whole locker room just run out and start shaking the cage and shaking the cage
to
open it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was shaking. And then finally, they get the cutters. But the police are there. And the police are like, nope, nobody can go in. We're going to go in and kind of apprehend these guys or approach them. And then as soon as they're cut, they cut the chain and the police enter, R-Truth and The Miz put their hands behind their head and kneel down and surrender to the cops. And it was just a really badass moment.
So
it was
badass.
Like, yeah, it was like they murder everybody. And they're like, okay, we'll go. And they got handcuffed. And as they got handcuffed, they're going up to the ring. Triple H just runs down and jumps on both. It was pretty cool, man. I thought it was like, wow, it was pretty cool back then.
The good old days.
Well, it wasn't even the good old days, but it was something.
Ruthless aggression, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It was something. It was exciting. And I had forgotten totally about that. Really cool. Check it out, folks.
Yeah. Selena Vega and Sienna Almas are not in the Mixed Match Challenge. And I was
seems
tweeting
stupid.
With,
yeah, it seems stupid. I guess they're above it, right?
That's it. That's what, yeah. Somebody mentioned it on Twitter. I replied with, well, I'm not a huge fan of the Mixed Match Challenge. I just feel like it's, what's the word? It's like a novelty. It's kind of,
it's absolutely a novelty.
Yeah. It's just, it kind of annoys me that it's there and I can't see it and they talk about it.
I know. Yeah. They make it very hard to watch it, at least for us.
Yeah, in Canada, so we can't watch it on Facebook Live.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of stupid. They're really limiting their reach. I guess they have some kind of agreement with Facebook or something. They gave WWE lots of money and, you know.
It is what it is.
Go America.
That's it. Brie, Maurice.
But one thing I want to say before we go off of Sienna Almas and Zelina Vega. So on the WWE, their website and on social media, they did an interview, I think Renee Young did it, with Zelina Vega, and we just recently passed the anniversary of 9/11, and you know, all the unfortunate incidents that happened, many people lost their lives. Well, Zelina Vega's father was in one of those buildings as it collapsed, and she basically does an interview, she talks about, you know, where she was and how her father actually called from the tower. And, you know, basically said his goodbyes, and it was really sad. And she's got regrets, but at the same time, hold on to the memories that she had with him. And, you know, reflects back on where she is now and what her father would think. So it's a really cool interview. Definitely not a heel, Selena Vega. You kind of get to see her raw, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah,
I always
really
like
cool
that. Yeah. But yeah, interesting. And check it out, guys, if you haven't, because you'll like them even more, because they are awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, bring a tissue, because it's a tearjerker. It was a sad story.
Hey, not the kind of tissue jerker that J-Bomb likes.
Hey, whoa. This is a sensitive issue.
It is a sensitive issue.
We got Brie Bella, Maurice in the main event, and honestly,
a lot of people complained about this.
Okay, look. When Nikki Bella and John Cena fought The Miz and Maurice at WrestleMania, I was disappointed because we didn't really get to see anything in the ring for Maurice. So I was really excited to see this match and go, shit, we're going to finally see her in the ring. And then there was nothing other than that one kick, which is the same kick we saw at WrestleMania. But apart from that negative aspect, I loved everything about the whole segment.
Well, I guess it depends how you look at it. I mean, the Bells were put in kind of the main spot on both shows, right? Breeze on Raw and SmackDown, too. So a lot of people rubbed the wrong way. The Bell Twins, and then the way they came back, they were just on Raw one week. Next, all the other divas, and it was just like, wait, what? You're back? And
divas? Kind of
Tip jar. Yeah, it's been a while since I've done that.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. But yeah, they're back, and they're kind of bumping people over spots and, you know, whatever. I think it's cool. I'm enjoying The Miz and Daniel Bryan. I think it's been great. Having Brie in the main event to get with Maurice, whatever, get over it. It's not the end of the world. We have some shittier main events. We've had Jinder Mahal in how many main events of SmackDown?
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't know. We actually could probably compare the two, and I don't know who would be worse. But, I you know, Brie versus Maurice, cool. I was down for it, and I was excited to see Maurice. But, again, we didn't get it. So I guess it's kind of leaves you hungry, wanting something going into Hell in a Cell. I think it's fine. And, you know, we saw The Miz get involved and kind of, like, pull Brie out of the ring. And Daniel Bryan was having none of that shit. And
yeah, he
took
got
it to The Miz.
Yeah.
Nikki Bella clocked The Miz as well, too. I'm excited for this match. I think it's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be awesome. Miz and Maurice are going to be cowards. And they're going to do exactly what they need to do to make us just, I guess, be engaged and hate these guys. But that's it. You hate The Miz, but you love to hate The Miz, right?
That's it. I don't even hate him. I just love him. I love everything about him. And I love Maurice. Honestly, the four of them, these guys together, works really well. I hope it's the match that opens Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it could be a great match opener. I think it's going to be a tag team match, probably the New Day, I would say, and Rusev Day. That's my guess.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right. But it is, yeah.
But it's not a bad thing, though, because the New Day, you know, they can bring energy, and Rusev Day can bring energy, so it's a good way to start off the event.
That's it. Actually, let's roll into it. Let's give our predictions for Hell in a Cell, then.
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell. You want to go down the list in the order that we have it written down?
Sure, because the listeners know what we have written down.
Okay, so let's start with Daniel Bryan and Brie versus Miz and Maurice, since we were talking about them anyways.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. So there you go. Great transition conversation, great transition match, and this one is going to be fun. I think it'll be cool. Daniel Bryan and the Brie finally getting their hands on the Miz and Maurice. Who you got, J-Bomb?
I gotta think they're gonna go with Daniel Bryan and Brie on this one, just because the Miz beat Daniel Bryan in the first match, and I feel like this feud's going to carry on, and it would just not be credible for the Miz and Maurice to win, unless it's a DQ, unless they cheat. But I don't know.
You can never guess those wild card endings when there's a DQ as well. But I kind of agree in the sense that Miz did pick up the win. You know, this would be a win for Daniel Bryan and Brie, but it wouldn't necessarily mean a win over the Miz. Mm-hmm. So there'd still be that payback that would need to be there. Plus, putting Daniel Bryan and Brie together, people like it. It's cute. So they're going to want to see these two pick up a win. So again, I see it most likely being Daniel Bryan and Brie picking up the win over the Miz and Maurice.
I hope Maurice fights more. So
the woman just had a baby. Come on. Cut her some slack.
She looks great.
She looks great.
Damn it.
For sure.
It's French-Canadian women, man. Holy shit.
I bet she worked her ass off.
Damn. So happy we were from Montreal. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE title.
WWE title. So this is the feud. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. They're really heavily invested in it. So much so that they make an animated storybook of creepiness. That last picture with Samoa Joe, like with the family and the championship, like it was awesome. But it was like disturbing, man. Do you guys agree? It was at least a little bit disturbing, this segment.
I think it was a lot disturbing.
I just don't want to be alone on this. You're not alone.
Yeah. You're not alone. What do you got, though?
I got AJ Styles retaining the championship here. I don't mind if Samoa wins it. I think Samoa could be a guy that takes the title off of AJ, but I just think that WWE wants to roll with AJ a bit longer with the release of 2K19.
Yeah.
So it's going to be AJ Styles.
He's been the champion for quite a while. Is he sneaking
up anywhere?
Yeah, it's
been quite a while.
Yep.
Yep. I think he's even breaking into a record soon. I'm not sure what it was. Just like, I can't remember, a cumulative days or something like that, but he's maybe breaking the top 10. You know, it's not that big of a deal, top 10 or whatever, something like that. But the fact that AJ Styles coming, you know, into the WWE and already breaking records,
that's it.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, and especially McMahon saying he would never be anything more than a mid-carder, and now he's going to be, you know, one of the longer WWE champions. So that's freaking awesome.
Sweet.
New Day versus Rusev Day. Oh, man.
Day versus
days.
Day.
Days for days.
They should all just merge into one group called the New Rusev Day.
Oh, my God. Survivor Series. Wait for it. I guarantee you they're going to do that.
Yeah. That would be great. That'd be great. The New Rusev Day. Holy crap. Let's tweet Road Dogg. Let's try to get that. Guys, the New Rusev Day. Survivor Series. Come on. It's gold.
Hashtag it out after.
Nice.
I gotta say, I really want Rusev Day to win, but my gut says New Day retains.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be the New Day. They're advertised to defend their championship against the Bar at the Super Showdown. And Rusev Day, I feel like they're not done this storyline, them being in turmoil. Lana now might be the one affecting Rusev. You know, maybe Rusev will just say, screw this and go solo, and it'll be, you know, Aiden and Lana. I don't know. You know, it just, there's so many things they could do. I feel like they'll do nothing, but there's so many things that they could do. But oh, I don't think Rusev Day is going to walk away with the titles. I think it would be the favorite thing to do, the most popular thing to do. But the New Day just won the titles. They're not going to lose them yet. And the New Day is going to be the day come Hell in a Cell.
Is Rusev Day in the Mixed Match Challenge?
Lana and Rusev, I think, are a team in the
They should have made Aiden and Lana, and then Rusev gets jelly.
Yep. But they also seem to take this mixed match challenge and not talk about it on the main shows. So, like, they really wouldn't play it into the storylines.
Yeah, I know.
They should. They should use it more to... They should. They don't not do it at all, but they kind of keep them separate.
Yeah. True that. True that. Okay, we're going to skip over Roman because we'll do that one last. Rousey versus Bliss. Who you got?
Ronda Rousey versus Bliss. This one's pretty straightforward and makes me think this is Alexa Bliss's last chance. So she'll be fighting Ronda Rousey. I guess this is her rematch. And she's going to lose. I mean, straightforward. She's going to lose. It's going to be very much similar to what you saw last time. Alexa Bliss might try to bust out some judo moves that she's apparently been learning. But that's it. And then I'm interested to see where she moves on from here. And I was just advertised to team up with the Bellas to take on the Riot Squad. So who knows? I guess the Bellas to some degree in some story or the other. But yeah, you're going to see Bliss take a beating. Ronda's going to beat her. And that's all there is to it, folks.
Yep, I'm in agreeance. I was, as you were talking, I was thinking, is there any like... Because we know eventually, you know, Natty's going to be involved with Ronda. They're going to feud at some point. And then we know Nikki's going to feud with her at some point.
Well, I think Nikki's going to be first, if you look at the timelines, because we there's fast approaching Evolution as well, too. So I'm pretty sure Natty will come afterwards.
Yeah.
So, guys, I know you're sick of the Bellas. Just wait. Nikki's going to get her ass handed to her, man. It'll be worth it.
Or she wins. You never know. Oh, my God. All right. Jeff Hardy versus Orton. I think Orton's going to win because Jeff Hardy's literally going to be dead. So that's just how it goes for me.
I was going to say that I think Orton's going to win purely based on the typical recipe that Jeff Hardy got the better of him going into the pay-per-view. He hit the Twist of Fate. He hit the Swanton Bomb. Basically translates into, oh, he had the upper hand going to pay-per-view. He's going to lose and the other guy will win.
RKO so. Off the cell.
Dude, I'd be down, man. That'd be great. I'd be down. But I think
RKO through the cell.
I don't have high hopes for this match just because I find Randy Orton a bit boring. He's not totally boring, but I don't know. I just never really, really engaged in his feuds. And Jeff Hardy, I like him, but just kind of, he just goes in and does the same move sets over and over.
I think this is going to be a good match. I'm excited.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe they'll do a bunch of hardcore stuff. We'll see. It could be fun. Maybe I'm being a little bit harsh on it. But that lowers my expectations, so maybe it'll surprise me, and it could be exciting. But again, my pick, definitely Randy Orton.
I wonder if he'll pull the ladder out and put it on top of the cell.
Oh my God, no he won't. But first of all, that would be incredible, but no, he would not do that.
Or just like some sort of ladder set up near the tables and then off the cell with ladders involved. Just give me something. Just give me
a flaming ladder on a barbed wire table.
You got to think he's going to incorporate the ladder into whatever's happening.
Maybe climb the cage? That simple?
Maybe.
Just lean it again. He pulls it out. He leans it against it just to climb up.
And he does it for J-Bomb, and I'll be happy. So
maybe he'll pull a ladder on top of the cell and tease using it. But I don't see them. That would be pretty crazy.
Imagine
that would be
he like, tries ugh. To swanton. Randy Orton on top of the cell, off the ladder. Randy moves and he goes through the cell.
Well, then they're going to do the thing where he goes through the cell and then he lands in that like pocket that's cut out.
Yeah, exactly. Through the ring. Then it's just cheap, which I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Anyways, that's about these big spots. Often they fall and then they fall on a big mat. Like Kevin Owens looked really good because you could barely see it. It was pretty good. But like Shane McMahon, like a lot of the ones they do on like Raw, it's like they land on this big foam mat and it's like super obvious and super thick.
We're so spoiled.
Sure. What do we want people to go out there and splat? Like
what a pussy. Yeah, he fell 20 feet onto a mat. It still probably hurts like crazy.
For sure.
And if they fucking miss, they're literally dead. So, fuck. All right. What do we got? We got Charlotte versus Becky. which should be in a Hell in a Cell. And I still have hopes that it will be in a Hell in a Cell.
Maybe the cell will come down. Honestly, I think a lot of us were disappointed because Becky even threw out the challenge to put this in a cell, and Charlotte kind of seemed to accept it. You know, we kind of figured that might have been Becky going into business for herself. It also which is not great to do, but also could have just been like maybe they're getting ahead of themselves. They thought they could do it, but there's too many matches in a cell. Now, it's disappointing because right now it's not, but you know what could make up for it and even more? Like just during this match, the cell lowers at some point.
Like Becky finds a mechanism and lowers it down.
Well, they've done it before in other matches too. Like the Hell in a Cell match with Mankind and The Undertaker. You had the first blood match between Kane and Stone Cold, and the cell came down at some point, and they were fighting in the cell. And it wasn't a Hell in a Cell match.
There you
go. So, who knows, folks? I think that would be pretty cool to put them in the cell together.
Yep.
But we might not. We probably won't get it. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
But
well, who do you got? Who do you got, though?
All right. So, Becky has been amazing. She's been hunting. But will she be as amazing if she's not hunting? I think this is a big part of her appeal. I've actually been thinking about this, and I've read things similar to what I was thinking. So, you remember Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin? Remember the double turn?
Yes.
Well, they could definitely pull a double turn here. I mean, have Charlotte basically turn heel in the match, and have Charlotte turn face. People were talking about that as well, too.
Becky turn face, yeah.
Yeah. Well, even though it's kind of the unofficial case right now, right? So they would more or less just kind of be giving into the momentum of the crowd as it is right now. They're kind of like cheering. Becky's kind of supposed to be the heel. Charlotte's supposed to be the face. But the fans are cheering Becky. So it's almost like a really good opportunity to do the double switch.
Yeah.
And that way we get the nasty, you know, I love Queen Bitch Charlotte Flair. I think she's amazing as a heel on the mic. And, you know, Becky can still roll with being a heel, but being the anti-hero, heel slash face. So right. I think it could work. They need to do something with this match other than just like, you know, Charlotte picking up a win and Becky's upset and that's it. Like, there's got to be some payout. But
yeah,
I don't think the hunt's going to be over. I do think it could be a really good match, but fortunately, I think Charlotte is going to retain her championship.
Yeah, I agree. Charlotte's gonna. In order for this story to keep going, Charlotte needs to win. So, but that's interesting, man. It would be a really good opportunity for Charlotte to. I don't know how they would do it though.
They could easily do it. She'd be like, "I was champion, you know, like you were booing against me, and you know, she was beating the crap out of me when I was defensive, and you guys were still cheering her. You know, I don't need you guys. Like, they could do it, man. She could just walk out there and talk about respect. I want your respect."
No, but within the match, that was what was so beautiful.
Takes a chair and just like starts beating Becky down with it or something, you know, and it doesn't stop.
And then it's a DQ?
Well, we'll see. Maybe after the match. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe she won't let go of the... She beats Becky. Maybe she beats Becky with the figure eight and just won't let go of it and won't let go of it and won't let go of it and won't let
and
go of it.
And then the cell lowers and nobody could break it.
Maybe. And then she takes like, you know, like a chair out and hits her in the leg, you know, like, and then hits her in the leg and hits her in the leg, you know, like, I don't know. They could do it. That'd be nice.
They could do it. You're right. Okay. So we're both in agreement, Charlotte.
I think we're both in agreement for pretty much the whole thing.
Everything. Yeah. I told you this was an easy one to call. Ziggler and Drew versus The Shield.
Right, so this is funny because they have this tag team, you know, Ziggler and Drew, you know, the modern Shawn Michaels and Diesel, and now they have the tag team championships, taking on The Shield, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose, a lot of shrouded mystery there. He's been rather quiet. We don't know what's going on. We think that heel turn's coming, but we're not getting it, so who knows? Might come when we least suspect it. However, you know, we were talking how like they pretty much just scrapped the B team, right? The B team was the tag team champ. They were tag team champions. They made the tag team division look like a joke. So taking the titles off them, I think they ran their course. It's fine, but even with the rematch they had, you saw how quickly Ziggler and Drew disposed of them. So it was funny. They pretty much just scrapped their plans for the tag team titles, gave them to Ziggler and Drew, so this could be a tag team title match with the Shield, right? So makes you maybe think, well, they want to give the titles to the Shield, you know, right away. Mm. So that could be a big thing. That could be the reason they changed things so dramatically or pulled an audible and gave the titles to Drew and Ziggler. Maybe they're planning on putting them on the Shield. I'd like to think that Ziggler and Drew will hold on to them a little bit longer, and maybe there'll be that wedge between Rollins and Ambrose. Maybe it'll finally happen at Hell in a Cell. Hey, maybe the cell will lower and then he'll trap Seth Rollins in there and beat the crap out of him.
We got cells lowering in every match.
Yeah, that's it. It can't happen every match. It won't happen here. But it'll be cool. why not? You know, have the cage lowered. But yeah, I think Ziggler and Drew are going to retain the title, and it's probably going to be by like DQ or something.
Yeah. It is tough because then, you know, because you got to think, because I mean, I think Roman's going to beat Braun, right? So do they want all the titles on the Shield? I could see them wanting.
Yeah, that. But then what if Braun wins? They have all the titles on the pack?
Yeah, I know. But I'm thinking Roman's going to win. So I'm wondering if the WWE just wants all the titles on one of the two. I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
You know who looked really good with all the titles? Seth Rollins when he had the championship and the U.S. title when he beat Cena.
You know who looked even cooler?
Shawn Michaels because, with the WWE title and the European title.
Fuck that shit. Owen Hart with a tag team, European champion, and two fucking Slammies.
Yeah, man. The Slammies he used to come out with all the time was the shit.
So good. Aww. So good. And actually, they talk about that in the documentary and how he wasn't told to use them, and he just did it himself.
That's
he
awesome. Brought it out.
Yeah.
Owen was the shit. I love that guy. Yeah, amazing.
Okay, I'll go with Ziggler and Drew just to, you know, keep face with the rest of it. All right, Roman versus Braun Strowman. I already told you, I think it's Roman.
Main event
of the evening. Yeah, Roman, Braun Strowman. God, that's so hard to say. Roman, Braun Strowman with Mick Foley as a special guest referee. The Hell in the Cell for the Universal title. I got Roman. There's not much more to say.
I think we all have Roman. The fact that also Braun Strowman's cashing in his, I guess, contract in an official match kind of makes it a little bit more like, well, shit. Braun Strowman failed at cashing in his briefcase. Yeah, but he wasn't a pussy and he actually had an official match, you know? So it's kind of, I guess you can forgive the fact that he wasn't champion or he didn't get the title out of it. It's unfortunate, you know? If he's a heel now, man, have him just destroy Roman with the pack and just, you know, pin him. But I want to see Braun as the champion, and I want to see him have a run while he's at his prime. You know, I see him losing hair every week. And it's just kind of like...
You mean his prime look? Yeah,
well, I mean, like, I want to have a champion when he has that kind of cool ponytail, and I know eventually he's going to do a big show and shave his head, and he just won't be the same. I try to picture him, and I'm like, I just don't see the same.
Dude, do you remember The Mask? The movie The Mask?
Right.
One of the dudes with the Gatling gun had a full shaved head except for right in the back. And he had a ponytail, a long ponytail right in the back. Braun Strowman would look dope as fuck like that.
Yeah, maybe that's what he'll do. He'll just keep letting it recede back into the back of his head. But it's going to be a cool match in the Cell. I think it'll be brutal. Mick Foley, how much will he be involved? Again, we were saying earlier, check it out also on our Twitter, guys. We periscoped our meeting of Mick Foley. We'll be posting some pictures as well, too. Guys, check out the tour if you are available to do so in your area. It was awesome, man. Really, really, really cool. But will he be involved? Well, we had asked him if he knew the ending, which he obviously wasn't going to tell us. But he did tell us an interesting tidbit, which we had mentioned earlier, and that was that he's on the Do Not Touch list. So Mick Foley getting involved physically, probably not going to happen. But I wouldn't put past, like, you know, a referee bump or something. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this match, how Mick Foley is involved. But again, Roman's speared people outside the Cell already. Strowman's thrown people from off cages. So what are they going to do new in this match? I'm confident they'll find something, you know. Mm-hmm. Roman's good at putting on these brute matches. So is Strowman. I think it's going to be a good match. And however, unfortunately, I don't think this is going to be Braun Strowman's day. Roman will retain his championship with a spear.
One?
Two.
Two?
Yeah, how two to three, Superman two to punches? Three. You want to make a bet on Superman punches here too? Winner buys lunch.
Winner buys lunch? Loser buys lunch?
Loser buys lunch.
Okay, what do you got? Let's say, I say less than five.
Okay, I'm going to say, Roman Reigns wins two spears, five Superman punches total.
Okay, you got five, I got less than five.
Okay.
That puts me in quite an advantage, though.
Cool. That's good. That's fantastic. That's I like good. That.
All right.
Man, that's cool. And that's Hell in a Cell, guys. That's I hope you are excited. Man, and thanks for hanging with J-Bomb and myself. We had quite a rough night. We had some people reaching out to us saying, where's the podcast? Sorry, guys. But again, got to meet Mick Foley, man. I think that's pretty cool. So, so
suck it. I feel like I have a fever, so let's wrap this up.
I'm counterattacking my fever with drinking another beer, so...
Oh my god, you're drinking beer?
Yeah, I had to, man. Sometimes, like, I'm not big when you're hungover, but sometimes you just down a beer, and, like, it makes you feel so much better. And it also does. To get through this podcast, because it was pretty brutal at the beginning. I had quite a headache.
I feel like I'm feeling better.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we hope you guys enjoyed the show as well, too. Make sure to follow us on social media, @_Talkamania. Wherever you get your podcast kicks, be it Podbean, be it Spotify, be it... Help me out here.
Where else are we? Spotify, Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. There's a whole bunch of other ones. We're pretty much everywhere, so check us out.
And buy some merch. We were at the show last night. A lot of people liked our logo. They liked the artwork. They liked the Talkamania, guys. So buy that shit, prowrestlingtees.com/Talkamania. You buy one, man, we will plug you. We will talk about you in your show, man.
Yeah.
No problem. Hey, and also, you know what? I'm going to call this get out. We actually recruited a Talkamaniac last night in Montreal. Liam. Liam was a trooper, man. 19-year-old guy who got sat with us circumstantially, and he didn't know what he was in for. So, good kid, liked Mankind. 19-year-old, and he's a fan of Mankind. So that was pretty cool to see. Guy's working hard at school, so I wish him the best of luck. But awesome Talkamaniac, Liam. We're trying to convince him to go to SummerSlam with us, or at least come and enjoy it, and we'll...
We probably freaked him out,
we'll screw his life up completely.
All right, guys, so we'll be with you, Hell in a Cell, this Sunday. We're getting together on the Periscope. And like Des mentioned, go check out the Mick Foley stuff. We'll be posting stuff in the next few days. And on behalf of Talkamania, J-Bomb's out. Say bye, Des.
Happy Rusev Day. And say a happy birthday to J-Bomb.
Oh.